Hey guys, welcome back. You are listening to the Mom Bear Podcast, and I am your host, Mary Susan McConnell. I am so excited to be back. I took last Monday off because it was Labor Day, and I missed being here. So here I am. I was not planning on doing that. It was one of those things that I realized day of, hey, this is Labor Day, and I'm going to participate and take some time off. So I am thrilled to be back, and I can't wait to dive into the show. If you are new here, this is a place that I created because I am the mom to my daughter, Abiella, who's 7 years old. She is magical and so much fun, and she has profound special needs. She has a feeding tube. She has cerebral palsy. She's nonverbal. We have an incredibly gorgeous, in my opinion, hot pink wheelchair, and life is so fun with our daughter. And I also learned immediately, like very, very early on, the power and the necessity truly of being around, or at least knowing, even via the internet or books or YouTube or somehow connecting and seeing other families doing the same thing. Every single one of us has a story that's unlike the other, but just being within the realm of people doing something that's not typical was healing. And it helped me kind of get my footing in different areas. And really, it truly just, I can't express how important it is. I know you've all been there if you're in a similar boat where you're dealing with something that feels heavy or an emergency or something you haven't been through before. And when you can hear other women or men talking about it from a first person perspective, not talking about it as a doctor. Now, I love our doctors and I love all of our people, but there's something when you know you're in the boat, you're in the same boat, the same role, you know, and a parent is going to go home and they're going to be a parent to their child. It's a little different than when you're speaking with someone who's going to go home and, you know, kind of exit out of their workday. And so I think getting to hear from other parents in the same boat is so important. So that's why I created this podcast, because not all of us have communities that we get to meet with these people face-to-face. Some people I know who listen live in very rural areas, and they can feel very isolated. And some of us live where we have a lot of people that we see face-to-face that are in the same boat, but I don't know, at least for me, I'm like, please, I want to just constantly soak it in. I'm always looking at other Instagram accounts and people that are doing similar things and learning from them and feeling that connection. So I'm so happy you're here. I wanted to take today to do a few things. Today is episode 20, and I wanted to, first of all, just kind of reflect and thank y'all for listening. I cannot believe I'm on my 20th episode. The messages I've gotten, the growth that I've seen in these 20 weeks. I mean, when I hit publish on the first episode, I just remember kind of sitting down in my kitchen, a little stunned, like, oh my gosh, I just put this out there. And then I remember just pacing my yard back and forth. And within maybe 2 hours, I had maybe even an hour. Well, the episode I think was 50 minutes or something, so it had to have been longer than that. But I got a message from a stranger saying she had found it and connected with it. And from that point on, it was just such gratitude. I was so grateful for every person that's listened, every note that I've received. Thank you so much. Thank you. So for episode 20, I wanted to take a minute to just kind of update y'all on our lives. In episode 1, I spoke a ton about my own personal world as a mom. And then I've interviewed some incredible women, and we've gone over some very amazing, some heavy, some fun topics. And we have so many more coming, and I'm going to read you a list of the episodes that are coming so you can kind of get an idea in no particular order. But before I did that, I want to tell you two really exciting things, and I'll get to those in a second. But first, update. Life here is great. It is the first cold day of the year. It is September, and I live in Tennessee, and sometimes the heat can last pretty long, and then all of a sudden, you're like, where's my coat? I was sweating yesterday and now I need a blanket. So yesterday the rain came in and all of a sudden it was too cold to be on the porch without a blanket, where the day before we were just sweating and turning the fan on and thinking, will the summer ever come to a close? And now I am literally in a sweater dress with tall boots, and I have my dress down past my hands because I'm a little chilly in my own house. We have not turned the heat on yet because it very well may, you know, hop back up into the 90s. Who knows? But things are good. We've had some friends come over this weekend. They visited. We love having our friends from Georgia pop in. And so that was a blast to be able to hang out on the porch. I love that Abby, now that she's 7, she really likes to hang out with us and be on the porch in her chair and enjoying life and laughing at the jokes. And she still likes to have her alone time, but we got to take a really long walk with our friends Sunday morning, and Abby loved that. And so it was just so much fun. And in the midst of all this, we've had some new activity happening that I would consider seizure activity right now. And I think seizures are those things that, first of all, if you had told me 10 years ago that I would be the mom to a child that was having seizures, I might have gone to the corner, curled up in a ball, and like dry heaved out of concern and nervousness. Because to me, seizures, before they were in our life, was like the most terrifying thing. You know, the most. I remember when we knew we were possibly going down the route of adoption, our daughter is adopted, and we knew then that she had special needs. You know, my biggest thing was seizures. Is that, what's that going to look like? Because it just felt like the wild card in the room, like the wild animal that could just run in, pop out of the woods any moment. You don't know how to handle it. And so we had our first year here, I guess, with her at home. We adopted her. We met her when she was 1. She came home when she was almost 2. Right now she's 7.5. Oh gosh, more than that. Her birthday's in December. So yeah, we're nearing the next year. But point is, we had a lot of time with no seizure activity. And I just thought, wow, we missed that boat. We don't have to think about that. And then one night we found ourselves in an ambulance being rushed to our amazing local children's hospital and then admitted into, we were there for days because the seizure, we had no emergency meds because we had never had seizures before, and it just lasted so long. I mean, I'm talking hours. And it became that thing that all of a sudden, okay, there's a monstrous new piece of the puzzle. How are we going to handle this? And I am so grateful for the people in our world at that time. I remember doctors coming in and me just like taking them and like sitting them down and me, you know, asking all the questions. And that was a real turning page, a moment in time where you're like, that doctor is not going to be in our world, but these doctors who speak my language, who get this, are going to be in my world. And I'm not going to go down that road right now and tell that story. But the point is, because the seizure had started in her sleep, it was just by miraculous chance that my husband, Sean, found her because he thought he heard something in the monitor. And the monitor was near me and I didn't hear it. And so what that did was then just created this kind of expectation among us that we were just going to be sleeping in her room all the time. I mean, how then do you go to bed? How then do you seriously go to bed? And so thank God we had these doctors that really, and everybody's different. Everybody has their own road, but our team really felt like she was super stable. She had not been on any seizure meds prior. We had no emergency med to give her. There were a number of different factors with that particular episode. And I remember our neurologist that we loved saying, you're going to deflate the air mattress that we had put in her room tonight, and you're going back to your bed. And I was like, but what? And he sat there, had to have been an hour, and answered all of my but what questions. And when we got to the end, the very strong consensus was that we would best serve our family, including her, if we were alert and happy and not exhausted and simply spending the night on an air mattress every night when he did not find that we were even in the zone of concern was not a healthy choice for anybody. And so that's what we did. And that's how we began, you know, the next stage of life post-seizure, you know, when you realize, okay, this is in our world. And so since then, you know, a lot of you listening know when you're dealing with neurology issues, things just kind of shift and they change. And you may have a season that goes one way, and then all of a sudden you're dealing with a totally different season that you're like, wait a minute, what is this? And so for years, we have had the exact same seizure protocol. We have known exactly what her seizures would look like, and they were really far apart. I mean, years apart. We might have a slight little thing here or there, but we would just increase the med and they would go away. And not a problem. And then the past 2 weeks, we've been dealing with this unusual episode that is, we think it's seizure activity. We aren't certain. We're talking with our neurology team. We are doing all the things that you do. But we haven't really, we're in that zone where if one thing that we just shifted changes it, then we fixed it. We know what's up. We're there. If not, then we're going to have to go down that route. You know, where it's like a maze and it's like, okay, now let's check this left corner. Anything happening here? Let's go down the right corner. Anything, you know, all to get to the end, which is just our biggest goal is quality of life. And I think when people hear seizures, if you aren't familiar with seizures, even if you are, it can make you think, oh my gosh, how is your life going to be with seizures? But for us, at least, and for everything, we've had three neurologists since. If we are breathing well, if our heart rate is well, you know, there are things that we can do. And ultimately, so far, it has not been any type of real concern for us. And I would say right now, it's still not a concern. Our neurology team is super casual about it. They are feeling really good. But because, like I said, these episodes that have happened that seem a little different, she was fine. Her breathing was fine. Her heart rate was fine. And she came to on her own without even needing an emergency med. But all that to say, when it's like when the lights start to flicker and you're having to, you know, it reminds me of, you may even be in your own home. And when the electricity goes out, have you ever just been standing there and electricity goes out and you're in complete darkness and you're like, oh gosh, okay, now I got to go find the flashlight. Where the heck is the flashlight? And you're turning around and it takes like 1 360 and you've lost kind of your bearings. You're like, wait a minute, and you're figuring your way out. That's how it always feels when all of a sudden there's like one new thing. You have to pause, get your bearings, remind yourself there's a flashlight. We're going to be fine. The electricity will come back on. But in that moment, it can be quite disorienting. So we're kind of in that season of figuring that out. But the two exciting things I wanted to tell you about is first is the project that I've been working on for so long. I had this dream, and I'm not talking about when you're sleeping. I had a dream, like a goal, a vision, when AB was in preschool. So she's now in second grade, and she was going to an inclusive preschool. And I had worked really hard to try to make sure that the books in our house were fairly diverse. And I wanted to really include a bunch of different ethnicities and, you know, a lot of different parts of the world. And all of a sudden it dawned on me one day that we had no books in the house where kids had special needs. And occasionally we would see, like on TV or in a book, a child in a wheelchair, and we'd make a really big deal out of it. Like, oh, look, this little boy has a wheelchair like yours. His is green. Yours is pink. How cool. But there was nobody that had a feeding tube. There was nobody who had a trach. And AB does not have a trach, but I had friends whose children had trachs. There was nobody who I saw that wore the AFOs that AB has, or some of our friends' kids have limb differences. There were no limb differences. And it took me way back, and I wish I could find this quote, and if you know it, please send it my way, when I was an eighth grade reading teacher, like literature teacher, English teacher. Well, no, I didn't teach English. I just taught the literature part. But I found this quote that said, essentially, do you know how you know, when a society values someone, you will see them in their literature. You will see those people represented in the kids' literature, in the kids' activity workbooks, in the novels, in the scripts for the TV shows. I mean, in print, you will see these people. And it just busted my, it just was a punch. I was like, oh, my daughter has never seen herself in anything like this. And so I'm so grateful for the people that have come before me, because it's not there. You can really search, you can really Google, you can really get online and find some really great books that are inclusive, that talk about all these things. One of the first ones I got was a book written by my friend Tracy Laux, which you've got to listen to her interview and hear about her book, that involved specifically educating families in a children's book format about having a trach, which it's just really beautiful. And you can go back to that episode and get more information about that. But so I was finding some books and I decided, you know what, I would love to make a coloring book, something just super easy. And not easy as in easy to do, but easy for kids to just kind of sit there and color and maybe even unconsciously find themselves relating to these children. And so it was for everybody. I wanted kids that do not have special needs to have this book that includes kids that do have special needs, because I formatted it after the preschool that my daughter was in at the time, which was inclusive by about 50%. So 50% had special needs of all different kinds and 50% didn't. And that's kind of the model. And I named these kids the Dream Team. And so I contacted an illustrator and we began working on the first coloring book of this vision I have. And so I want to do many, and this is just the first one. And so as life goes, you kind of take a project and you get it going and then you put it on the side for a second while you're doing other things, and then it reignites and you pick it back up. And so I have the finished product in my hands right now. And the way I've decided to do it, and it's not out yet, but I'm telling you now because it's going to be soon and I'm very excited about it. And maybe perhaps it will be a fun thing to give during the holidays. But I'm making it the first round as an ebook so that you can download it. And there's a few reasons why I'm doing this. One is so that our friends that listen across the world, because we have a lot of listeners that are not in the United States, so they can get a copy. And the second reason is that you can have it immediately. You can download it immediately. You're going to be able to purchase it on my website, download it, print it off, and have it. That also allows you to print it as many times as you want. So if your child colors the whole thing and you're like, okay, this is done, you can toss that copy and just reprint it again. Once you've bought it, you have it. And the fourth reason was I was thinking about our kids that use assistive technology instead of perhaps a crayon or a marker. And if you download this on their device, depending on your device, I'm not making any promises, depending on your device, it may be that you can then import it as a picture into a program like Paint, and then they can color it on their device. So there was a lot of different reasons that had me say, I actually did a first print run of just a few samples and had them at my house thinking, this is it, this is the way it's going to go. And when I really kind of started to think about all these things and I had to make some tweaks, I decided, you know what, let's do it this way first and see how that goes. So it's called The Dream Team Coloring Book, Celebrating the Magic of All Children and the Joy of Inclusion. And again, I'm going to be hopefully doing a lot more of these. And there's zero way to include every type of special need in one book. So I desperately don't want anybody to feel left out if your situation, if you don't feel like it's represented. Hopefully it will be represented in the future. But in this specific, you know, first one, we have AFOs. We have, if you aren't familiar, those are like leg braces that a lot of, or at least AB wears every day. We have sensory headphones, which may just look like headphones, but to some of us, we know that those are sensory headphones. We have wheelchairs that you can color. And these pictures are done where about half of them are fairly complex and half of them are very simple. So my hope is that that will allow artists of all kinds. And of course, they don't have to draw on the lines. I'm like, you know, I'm passionate about be a free thinker, draw how you want, paint however you feel. But just saying this hopefully will allow students of all different skill sets or however you want to see it to be able to do complex and simple drawings. I'm looking through it right now. We have the playground. We have the art classroom represented. We have, I have one, there's one student of the dream team that does not have hair. And I did that because some of our kids that are going through illnesses do not have hair. And there's a variety of reasons why you might not have hair. But so one of our friends in the dream team does not have hair. Let's see. We have painting. We have computers. We have, I have one that's a hospital room because I think, and I've made it very happy. It has balloons and stuffed animal and coloring books and a great scene outside because the truth is for some of us, we spend a lot of time in the hospital. And so I wanted that place to feel like, oh, other kids spend time in the hospital. I'm looking at a child in this picture who's in the hospital and he has a smile on his face and it's a happy room. And maybe that can help make the hospital not seem so scary, especially if you know you're going there. We have a computer lab. We have limb differences represented. We have a prosthetic limb represented. We have hippotherapy, which is horses, riding horses. I'm just kind of flipping through here. We have a trach. So we have a lot of different things. I also have one scene that includes kids reading books to each other, because I know for us, a lot of times we have peers that kind of step in and help with different lessons or different games. And so my hope is that this will be for all children. And if you do not have children that have special needs, this will kind of help normalize that conversation. And they can kind of start asking their questions while drawing, and you can kind of answer them there. I think when you see a child for the first time, let's say with a limb difference, if it's in a coloring book and you can ask an adult who's with you about that, that might help make it easier for everyone when you see a child with a limb difference in the grocery store or at school. So I'm really excited about that. I will tell you in an upcoming episode the exact day it's coming out, but it will be this fall, and I am thrilled. If you are interested in being someone that gets a copy early, where you could maybe provide a testimonial or take some pictures that you would be willing to kind of promote, let me know. You can contact me via Instagram or my website, but we'll get back to that later. But I'm so excited about that. I'm so happy to be in the final stages. And the second thing I'm excited about is all the episodes we have coming up. So I thought I would just kind of give you some topics of what's happening. And here we go. One that I'm really excited about is I'm speaking with an expert about finances when it comes to the long term for our children with special needs trusts, how to handle your estate, how to set things up now, all that kind of thing. Dealing with also what kind of benefits might be available to you. So we're going to be talking about that. I'm going to be speaking with a New York Times bestselling author, and I'll tell you more about that in the future, about her experience raising a child with Down syndrome. I am going to be doing a lot about the holidays because for many of us, the holidays are awesome and simultaneously stressful. I think parents that have children with special needs very often feel down during the holidays, not always, but down because it's kind of like this subconscious little like this kind of poke on the shoulder that your family is a little bit different, whether that means the gifts that your child is going to be able to appreciate and love, whether that means travel and how that affects you and your family. Whether that's the lack of travel. Perhaps I know a lot of moms that would love to go travel for the holidays, but because of their situation, they cannot do that. I think some parents that have kids with special needs, as they get older, they realize kind of just the dynamics of what that might look like. And so my goal for the holidays is we're going to have a bunch of different episodes, not only about gifts and what to do, but really a lot about just handling the stress and just kind of like, yeah, I get it. You know, I get it. Y'all get it. Hearing from other women that can express how the holidays feel to them, I think is really important. So we're going to be talking about the holidays. We are going to be talking about some very specific things like, oh, I'm looking at my list. I'll sleep when I'm dead. Dealing with sleep issues. Let's see, on that topic, night terrors. Yikes. How many of us have dealt with night terrors? It's enough to make you just not speak about it. We have Red Rover, wanting your child to have friends. Oh, hard one. We're going to be speaking about that. If mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. We're going to be talking about, this is one of my favorite titles, and I didn't come up with it. My husband did. It's Your Party and We'll Cry If We Want To, Handling Birthday Parties and Other Social Events. Because I know for a lot of us, we desperately want our kid to be able to participate in things, but there's a lot of things going on. You know, there's a lot of things going on when it comes to a party. I saw this thing on Instagram a long time ago where the woman who wrote it, her son had autism, and that made it very difficult for him to participate in social events because they weren't planned. And so being able to go to someone's house and having no idea what's coming next and what the schedule will be. And so his friends at school knew that and knew that when something was out of sync with his schedule, he could have a meltdown or, you know, his behavior might shift. And so he wasn't getting invited to parties, and that made him sad. And one day the mom got a letter with an invitation. And the invitation was from the child, and the letter was from the mom. And it said, you tell me if you want to come over an hour before the party and leave before the first guest arrives, let's do that. If you know anything I can do to make it easier or not, let's do that. It was so important to this family to make an environment that helped this mom and her child be included that they were able to figure it out. And I thought that was so moving and so beautiful and just so wonderful for them both to have had that experience. And so we're going to be talking about parties. How the heck does that go down? You know, because some of us too, it may be an accessibility issue. You know, when so-and-so has a party that is, you know, at a place that maybe involves a lot of physical activity, but your child's in a wheelchair, that may be difficult. So parties can be hard. So we're going to be talking about that with another mom. And I'm going back to my list here. We are going to be talking about the hips don't lie, handling the dreaded hip dysplasia surgery. Obviously, that doesn't apply to everyone, but for a lot of us, especially if you're in the world of CP or where you're in a wheelchair, you may be dealing with hip surgery issues. We are going to be talking about, I'm looking at the list. Two steps forward, two steps back, that kind of feeling of, yay, we're doing so good. Oh my gosh, we're way back further than we were a year ago in handling that. So I'm looking at a list of about 50 episodes and I've only named a few. So all that to say, this is episode 20. Thank you for being here. I'm so excited about what the next few months are going to bring. We have an amazing list of guests. We have an amazing list of episodes, and I'll be giving you more information about the coloring book, but I thank you in advance for your support for everything, not just the coloring book, but I know y'all are so supportive of this place, and I so appreciate it every time you share it, whether it's on Instagram or Facebook or with your friends or with your small groups or your special needs groups. I cannot thank you enough, and I am just thrilled to be here. If you would like to hang out with me during the week in between these shows, I am mostly on Instagram at Mary Susan McConnell, MarySusanMcConnell. And you can also find me at my website, themamabearsite.com, themamabearsite.com. And I am so thrilled for the next 20. Thanks, guys. See you in 7 days.